The Lord be with you.
Good morning
and welcome to worship at First Presbyterian Church. A special welcome to visitors who are with us this morning. Everyone is reminded and encouraged to sign the red pew pads and to pass those along and to help your neighbors find them as needed. There are some announcements in your bulletins that I would draw your attention to, reminders of meetings that are happening this week. Please pay attention to those as they pertain to you, and a reminder that Ash Wednesday is coming up, not this week, but next week on the 26th, and there will be an Ash Wednesday service at 6 p.m. And also there is information in your bulletins about the noontime Lenten concert series and soup lunches, and a reminder that there are sign-up sheets in the fellowship hall if you would like to help serving or hosting and providing soup or dessert for those luncheons. It should be another wonderful concert series this year. We look forward to the beautiful music and also to the fellowship and the time together after afterwards as we raise money for Project Share and for all the good work that Project Share does in our community. There is also information in your bulletins this morning about an event coming up on March 12th that is an information session provided by the Pennsylvania State Police on responding to an active shooter or intruder situation in public places, especially in a house of worship such as this. So you are invited to attend that if you are interested. Elders, a reminder that your packets are in the tower room ready for pickup for our session meeting this week, and also a reminder that the Presbytery of Carlisle will be meeting on Saturday, and it is also an education event. If you are interested in attending, you can speak to me about registering, and that is at Paxton Church in Harrisburg. This is the day that the Lord has made. Let us rejoice together and be glad in it as we worship God. Please stand as we worship God together. Sing to the Lord a new song.
Sing to the Lord, all the earth.
The choice is before us, life or death.
Let us choose life so that we may live.
Our glories are mine.
God is always more ready to hear and to forgive than we are to pray and to confess. God knows our needs before we even ask. In penitence and in faith, therefore, let us pray together, confessing our sins. Forgive us our sins, O Lord. Forgive us the sins of our youth and the sins of our age, the sins of our soul and the sins of our body, our secret and our whispering sins, our presumptuous and our careless sins, the sins we have done to please ourselves and the sins we have done to please others. Forgive us the sins that we know and the sins that we know not. Forgive them, O Lord. Forgive them all because of your great goodness and love. Through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Hear the good news. The mercy of the Lord is from everlasting to everlasting. I declare to you in the name of Jesus, your sins are forgiven. May the God of mercy, who forgives you all your sins, strengthen you in all goodness, and by the power of the Holy Spirit, keep you in eternal life. Amen. Just as God has forgiven us in Christ Jesus, let us also forgive one another and offer signs of peace and reconciliation. The peace of Christ be with you all.
And also with you.
As God's people, forgiven, loved, and freed, we gratefully turn our hearts and minds to God's word as it is read and proclaimed. Let us pray together for the Spirit's illumination. Lord Jesus, you are the light of the world. Your good news is for all people. In this day's reading and proclamation, tune our ears to hear your life-giving word. Open our hearts to receive your blessing, that we may bear your light in our lives, giving witness to your glory and strength. Amen.
Today's Old Testament reading is from Deuteronomy 30, verses 15 to 20, and is found on page 156 of the Old Testament in your pew Bible. See, I have set before you today life and prosperity, death and adversity. If you obey the commandments of the Lord your God that I am commanding you today, by loving the Lord your God, walking in his ways, and observing his commandments, decrees, and ordinances, then you shall live and become numerous, and the Lord your God will bless you in the land that you are entering to possess. But if your heart turns away and you do not hear, but are led astray to bow down to other gods and serve them, I declare to you today that you shall perish. You shall not live long in the land that you are crossing the Jordan to enter and possess. I call heaven and earth to witness against you today that I have set before you life and death, blessings and curses. Choose life so that you and your descendants may live, loving the Lord your God, obeying him, and holding fast to him, for that means life to you and length of days, so that you may live in the land that the Lord swore to give to your ancestors, to Abraham, to Isaac, and to Jacob. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
From the New Testament this morning, our second lesson is from Paul's first letter to the Corinthians, chapter 3, verses 1 through 11. Paul is addressing the divisions in the Corinthian church. Listen again to God's word. And so, brothers and sisters, I could not speak to you as spiritual people, but rather as people of the flesh, as infants in Christ. I fed you with milk, not solid food, for you were not ready for solid food. Even now you are still not ready, for you are still of the flesh. For as long as there is jealousy and quarreling among you, are you not of the flesh and behaving according to human inclinations? For when one says, I belong to Paul, and another, I belong to Apollos, are you not merely human? What then is Apollos? What is Paul? Servants, through whom you came to believe, as the Lord assigned to each. I planted, Apollos watered, but God gave the growth. So neither the one who plants nor the one who waters is anything, but only God who gives the growth. The one who plants and the one who waters have a common purpose, and each will receive wages according to the labor of each. For we are God's servants working together. You are God's field, God's building. According to the grace of God given to me, like a skilled master builder, I laid a foundation, and someone else is building on it. Each builder must choose with care how to build on it. For no one can lay any foundation other than the one that has been laid. That foundation is Jesus Christ, the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Let us pray. Lord, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of all our hearts be pleasing and acceptable in your sight. O God, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. When you get right down to it, both of these lessons that we've just heard from the Old and the New Testaments, both of them are about acknowledging where ultimate loyalty lies in our lives. Ultimate loyalty. Loyalty is one of those things that we talk about when times are tough, when circumstances are unpleasant, when we are under pressure. And so it's no surprise that for Paul and for Moses, these are life and death matters. The idolatry that Moses warns against and the divisions that Paul is decrying to the Corinthians, left unchecked, these divisions will ultimately lead God's people to death. But obeying God's word and finding unity in Christ and being reconciled to one another, these are the ways, according to Paul and according to Moses, that lead to the abundant life that Jesus promises, the abundant life that Jesus promises his disciples. Now, this is by no means news to us, or at least it shouldn't be news to us. We know deep down that obedience is better than disobedience, and that unity is better than disunity. We are better together. And yet, as Paul points out, we are a quarrelsome people. We relish a good fight, and maybe even relish a dirty one too. We find excuse after excuse after excuse for our disobedience, insulting one another, even brothers and sisters
seems all but inevitable. We claim superiority, we shun humility, and willingly bow ourselves down to worship the false gods of power and wealth and status and politics and tribe. So what gives? Why do we choose death and curses and adversity over life and prosperity? Why do we relish driving wedges between groups of people? Why are we quick to condemn and slow to forgive? Why do we have such a hard time getting our priorities in order and living the way Jesus tells us to live, the way Jesus teaches us to live, the way Jesus shows us to live in his own life, death, and resurrection? I think part of it has to do with the fact that the world is simply a noisy place these days. Everything is breaking news in the 24-hour news cycle these days. And the lure of lies and half-truths and false teachings, it's seductive and it's relentless. You can't escape it. So seductive and relentless that it's a great challenge to hear that still, small voice of God speaking to us in the midst of the cacophony. The cacophony tells us to consume more and more, that we can never have enough, that we should hoard up what is ours and protect ourselves from those who threaten to undo everything that we have worked so carefully to store up. And so we've come to live in a state of near constant anxiety, and anyone or anything who doesn't think the way we think, who doesn't look the way we look, who doesn't talk the way we talk, anyone or anything that is slightly different comes across as a threat. In many ways, we become dug in on our respective sides, sort of like the Christian community in first century Corinth. They are divided, and not just a little divided, they are deeply divided, to the point that Paul, who keeps hearing these words about the divisions at Corinth, the reports that keep coming to him, he decides that he's got to write them a letter in an attempt to sort out these divisions that are plaguing the young church. Different factions have arisen in Corinth based on who preached the gospel to them. Some people, you see, first heard the gospel from Paul, and so they very wrongly say, "I belong to Paul." But there are some other people in Corinth who heard the gospel from Apollos or Cephas, and again, wrongly, they claim, "I belong to Apollos," or "I belong to Cephas." And Paul says, "No, no, 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 no. You've got this all messed up. It's not about Paul. It's not about Apollos. It's not about Cephas. It's about Jesus." And so from Paul's perspective, this kind of thinking, this, "I belong to him. No, I belong to him. No, I belong to him," it's nothing more than childlike thinking. The Corinthians, Paul says, are no better off than when he first came to proclaim the gospel to them. "I couldn't speak to you as spiritual people then," he says, "but rather as people of the flesh, as infants, little babies in Christ. I fed you then with milk, not solid food." And even now, years and years later, you are still not ready for solid food. Paul laments their divisions, their quarrels about the things of the flesh, he says. Fights and jealousies, this behavior, which Paul says is according to human inclinations, this behavior that has nothing to do with the gospel, nothing to do with the way Jesus teaches people how to live. And so Paul asks this very powerful question, has Christ been divided? You didn't hear that in this morning's lesson. He asks it in the first chapter of 1 Corinthians, right off the bat. Has Christ been divided? And 20 centuries later, we can still feel the pain of Paul's question. 20 centuries later, we still know the pain of division and Paul's frustration because we are a people who are divided in just about every way possible. Division has become, in many ways, our heritage. And yet I think that there are many of us who are genuinely tired of the divisions we face, but we lack the energy and the will and the imagination to find ways to overcome these divisions. How can we then, as followers of Jesus Christ, how can we be, to use imagery from last week's text in the Sermon on the Mount, how can we be salt and light? How can we align our thoughts and our actions with the one who came not to be served, but to serve, and to give his life as a ransom for many? I wonder if the image that Paul offers to us, the image of a garden being tended, might not be a way for us to explore overcoming our divisions, overcoming our arguments. To the Corinthians, Paul writes, "What then is Apollos, and what is Paul? Servants, servants, through whom you came to believe as the Lord assigned to each. I planted, Apollos watered, but it is God who gave the growth. So neither the one who plants nor the one who waters is anything, but it's only God who gives the growth." You see what Paul is doing here? He says, Paul plants and Apollos waters, but it's God. It's God who gives the growth. Paul's reminding us that we all have a part to play, and that each of us has an important part to play, but that it's God who ultimately does the work. If you water seeds before they are planted, what happens? They'll sprout, and then they'll rot and die. What happens if you plant seeds and then don't water them? They'll never sprout, and there will be no growth. In Paul's image, neither planting nor watering are more important. Both are indispensable. And yet today, we tend to live in a world where those who plant and those who water seemingly are content to shout at one another, pointing fingers, making wild accusations. Those who water want to know why the seeds have rotted, and those who plant want to know why the seeds haven't sprouted. Just like in Corinth, neither is able to realize how much one needs the other. The same can be said, I think, for overcoming some of our divisions. No one person is responsible for the divisions we face. The church is divided, the nation is divided, the world is divided, and no one person, apart from Jesus, can heal those divisions either. When I was growing up, I spent a lot of time with my grandparents, and many of you know this. You've heard me talk about them from time to time. And my grandfather always had a huge garden that was filled with every different kind of vegetable that you could think of. And he loved to tend that garden. After he retired, even before he retired, he loved to tend that garden. from April till September, or even later, that is where you would find him each and every day, except for maybe Sunday. And I remember one year, I was probably 5 or 6, I was helping my grandfather plant his garden, and in particular, I remember planting sweet corn, probably because it was easy for a young child to do, put a seed in each hole. I planted my rows of sweet corn, and my grandfather planted his rows, and I think we even marked them. And as spring turned to summer, and as summer rolled on, I watched that corn, my corn, grow higher and higher and higher. And the corn that I planted, it was soon taller than me, and then taller than my grandfather, and it just kept growing. It was probably at least 10 feet high by the time it was ready to harvest. Meanwhile, the corn that my grandfather planted also grew, but it never got more than 5 or 6 feet high. And I thought that was the greatest thing ever. Every time I visited my grandparents, I had to go out to the garden and check my corn and to see how much taller my corn was my grandfather's corn. And I was so proud of that corn. I thought I was such a much better gardener than my grandfather, despite his years and years of experience. Imagine my disappointment some years later to discover he had given me a different variety of sweet corn to plant, one that grew very tall, while the variety he planted was much shorter. I was thinking about that story this week. There was no difference in the way those corn seeds were planted or cared for during the course of that long ago summer. Both were planted, both were watered. The only difference is in the seeds themselves, despite the fact that they looked the same to my young eyes. I think what Paul is getting at with this image of tending the garden is the importance of everyone working together. Everyone has a part to play, whether you're planting or watering or fertilizing or harvesting. And I wonder if sometimes we don't forget that. I wonder if sometimes we don't get so caught up in our little part of the garden and see just how tall our corn is. I wonder if we don't get caught up in that little garden and forget that we are indeed a part of the whole. I wonder if we forget that we need everyone else around us playing their parts, watering and fertilizing and harvesting in order for God to give the growth. At the end of the book of Deuteronomy, the passage that we heard a few moments ago, the Israelites are standing at the edge of the Promised Land. They've come through the desert wilderness for 40 years, and they are standing at the edge of the Promised Land, waiting, just waiting to go in. And Moses is giving them his final words of wisdom, his final advice, because Moses will not be able to go with them. Moses will not be able to step into the Promised Land. And so he's giving them some final instructions, some final commandments, some final warnings that they need to obey God's word. They need to obey the commandments that have been set before them in order not to be led astray, in order not to bow down and worship false idols and false gods. See, I have set before you today life and prosperity, death and adversity, Moses says. And the choice is theirs to make. The choice is theirs to make. Follow God's word, do what God says, and all will go right. Disobey God, and you'll face a harsh future. And time and time and time again, God's people will choose death and adversity. They will choose to worship the idols and bow down to the foreign deities. And it will not go well for them. But time after time after time, God forgives them. And God sends prophets to call them back. And God sends his own son in order to finally, once and for all, redeem a broken and divided and disobedient people. Jesus comes into this world and he looks around and he sees hatred and fear and injustice and oppression, and he says to his followers, You have heard it said in the law of Moses, thus, but I say to you, things like be reconciled and be loving and be forgiving and be merciful. You are different. You are not like the world because you know who you are and you know whose you are. And you belong to me. And then instead of just talking, Jesus puts his love into action. He goes to the cross, willingly goes to the cross, giving up his life in order that we might live by faith in him. I will confess that I don't know what much of this means for the short term. We are a nation that is deeply divided, but we've been deeply divided before. And maybe even more so in the past. What I do know is that it's much too easy, much too tempting to hate one another these days, to call names and to question motives and to see little or no value in the lives of those who are different. Jesus Christ offers us a different vision. A vision that is built on an entirely different foundation. The foundation of his own life, death, and resurrection. And Jesus invites us, his disciples, his followers, people who say that they believe in him, he invites us to come together and to work together and to tend the garden that God is growing. So I invite you, whatever your gifts or skills, to keep on planting seeds and to keep on watering, to keep spreading fertilizer, and to keep pulling weeds, to keep tending the soil, keep on working together, and God will give the growth. Amen. Let us pray. Lord, remind us that it's not about us, that it's not about who preaches to us, who teaches us. Remind us it's about Jesus. And help us, Lord, to fix our eyes on him, to fix our full attention on him, that we might know him better, and grow in him, and be your people. Your people. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Thank you.
Together, let us affirm what we believe using the words of the Apostles' Creed. I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Ghost, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth on the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Ghost, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Please be seated. Let us join together our hearts and minds in prayer. Eternal God, we are your people, called and blessed in your name. And yet we are a restless people, O God, a quarrelsome, divided people in many ways. And we remember Paul's words remind us again and again that it's not about us, that it is about you and your Son. When we are tempted to be deceived, O God, when we are distracted by the noise of life and the noise of this world, call us back again and again, O God. Call us back. Refocus our attention. Refocus our ways on your holy way. You give us the words of life, O God, and yet how often do we shun those words? How often do we choose a different way? And yet, O God, you are patient, and you are loving, and you are kind, and you are generous and merciful and loving. Call to us again, O God. Call to us again that we may hear your voice and that we may turn and again follow you for the sake of Jesus Christ. We gather this day, O Lord, as a community of faith. We gather as people, your people, called by your name, from different places, from different backgrounds, with different gifts and skills. And yet you call to us and you love us and you invite us to be part of your work here in this place. Lord, remind us of this great invitation. Remind us that it is ours to take up, to follow you, to love and serve you, to love and serve one another in this place. Lord, as we come together this day, we come as people with different experiences and with different backgrounds, and we come having had weeks that were good and productive, and weeks that were long and hard, and weeks that were lonely, and weeks that were filled much too full. Whatever has been our experience as we come to you this morning, Lord, help us to put all that aside. Help us to put all that aside, that we might focus on you, that we might pause and listen to hear that still, small voice. We pray this day, O God, for so many concerns. We pray for our world, for those affected by the coronavirus that seems to be spreading to many different places. Pray, Lord, for all those who are suffering. We pray for those who live in fear, for brothers and sisters in Christ who live in places where they do not have the freedom to gather and worship. We pray, O Lord, for them and for their faith, that you would strengthen them, O God, and that they would be a witness to us in this place. We pray for our nation and for the divisions that we face and for the healing that you can give, O God. We pray for our own community, for those near and dear to us, those whom we know and love. We pray for those who are struggling in mind or body or spirit, those who are sick in whatever way. We pray for them and pray for your healing touch, O God. And for those who are rejoicing, we give thanks, O God, and we rejoice with them, that together our voices might rise in gratitude and in praise, no matter what our circumstances in life may be. Continue to speak to us, Lord. Speak in and through us, that we might be salt and light in this place, serving you and loving you and loving one another. In the strong and precious name of Jesus, our Lord and our Savior, who has taught us to pray together, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. We now have the opportunity and privilege to give back to God a portion of what God has given to us in this life as the ushers come forward.
us pray together. Almighty and most merciful God, from you comes every good and perfect gift. We give you praise and thanks for all your mercies. Your goodness has created us. Your bounty has sustained us. Your discipline has chastened us. Your patience has borne with us. Your love has redeemed us. Give us a heart to love and serve you. Enable us to show our thankfulness for you, your goodness and mercy, by giving up ourselves to your service and cheerfully submitting in all things to your blessed will. Through Jesus Christ, our Savior. Amen. Return no one evil for evil. Strengthen the faint-hearted, support the weak, and help the suffering. Honor all people, love and serve the Lord, rejoicing in the power of the Holy Spirit. And the blessing of God Almighty, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit be with you now and remain with you always. Amen.